Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What a day. I'm winded. And usually when Ira comes in, I don't book any guests and I just work him to death. 4 hours of me questioning Ira on the NBA, and today, you know, in the middle of summer, and we figured we'd do it a little differently, and I'm winded from the first 2 hours and 22 minutes of the show.
Roberto Luongo and a competitive eating
and it's not going to get any easier here, because this isn't a light and fluffy Clay Ferrero interview. It will be, because I'm not going to do hard hitting with Clay, but it is a very important topic. So we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Clay Ferrero, you watch him on Local 10, and he comes on and he does our Ferrero side chats, and he's just a salt of the earth kind of guy. But as I mentioned in the last segment, Channel 10, anyone who worked there watched it. You know, you watched Todd Tongan, and he was just such this lively, upbeat
anyone
guy.
Anyone who lived here, yeah.
Yeah, you just knew him. Like, he was kind of ubiquitous around South Florida, and Todd Tongan took his own life and obviously was dealing with things that you just don't expect. And so Local 10, I think, has made it a point to say, hey, we're going to address mental illness. And Clay came forward and shared his story yesterday, and he's with us now. Hello, Clay.
Hello, Hogg. Can we start this off really quickly, because the response has been pretty incredible and frankly overwhelming. So I'm going to keep this anonymous. Can I share one text that I got with you guys that really kind of got me?
Please
do.
Okay. All right, this is anonymous. You ready? Hey, Clay, it's Hogg. Oh, wait. That started off as a pretty amazing story, but I couldn't watch the whole thing. I believe in truth in journalism. Getting choked up. And when Jeanine Stanwood called you good-looking, I had to turn it off. It was all a lie to me after that.
Just wanted you to know that I thought, while it was a nice and touching piece, I think when she called you a good-looking sports anchor, I said, all right, I'm out. I can't watch this anymore. I did send him a text that was glib in that fashion, that was similar. But I really, like, because I love Clay. I consider him a friend of mine. But, yeah, it was one of those pieces where you watch it and you go, wow, here's – I was just telling everybody in the last segment, mm-hmm. You came out with us a month and a half ago and shared your weight struggles with us, which was shocking because you're thin, and I would never have expected that you had weight troubles. And then when you shared that yesterday, I was like, wow, I mean, the things that you don't know about people, it's pretty shocking.
Yeah, and, you know, I love you guys. And the response, that the text that you sent me, there were two people that I knew would send me a text, actually three, would send me a text that would have some sort of joke to kind of soften the blow a little bit. And it was you, Dookie Lang, and Will Manso. So, and y'all all, every single one of you kind of came through for me exactly like I said.
Because I knew everyone on earth was going to send you the same text. That was very brave, and if there's anything I can do.
right.
So,
but you know, not to interrupt you, but the whole, I do want to kind of point at that, you know, the whole, when she said the good looking thing, of course, my wife turned to me and said, she's kidding about this, right? but in reality, I think Jeanine did a fantastic job, because what I think she was trying to express to people and get across, and I think she did this very well, is that, you know, this whole thing is stigmatized. Mental illness is very much stigmatized, and I think a lot of people feel like anyone who says they have a mental illness is weak, or it's a crutch that somebody uses when life just isn't going their way. And in this case, man, I've got everything going for me. I had everything going for me when this hit really hard, and things were going well. It was not a crutch. It was something that popped up and kind of interrupted when things were going well.
And by the way, if you haven't seen the piece that Jeanine did, you could see it at the Local 10 website or Clay's Twitter account. He tweeted a link to it, and it's worth watching. But if you can encapsulate for everybody, what is your diagnosed mental illness?
So I've got obsessive compulsive disorder, and not really just the cute stuff that you saw in the movie As Good As It Gets, although I actually think that did a really good job of painting a picture for people. mine started when I was a kid, and it really started hardcore when I was, and I think Ira will appreciate this, collecting baseball and basketball mm-hmm. cards. And there was this particular set that it would shine in the light, and if you got a fingerprint on it, it was kind of hard to see it shining. And so I did everything that I could to try to keep my hands clean before I would touch any of these cards. Well, you know, it starts off from a place of rational thinking, right? But then OCD kind of takes things and makes them irrational. So it wasn't just washing my hands once. It became two times, then four times, then eight times, then 16 times. And 16 was kind of the number, which is often characterized with OCD. There's often a number in your head that can be different for everybody that you have to hit with these rituals, as they call them. And with me, it was 16, and so my hands would be cracked and bleeding. You know, we would order pizza when I had all my buddies over, and I couldn't touch doorknobs. I would have to go to the back of the house and open the sliding glass door with my foot and then walk around to the front door and give the pizza delivery guy a check and take the pizza and make sure that I didn't touch him. I mean, just things like that as you're a kid obviously are not normal, and so that kind of led to us finally going in and getting the official diagnosis.
And that's something that you probably don't want to share with your parents, but then at some point I guess you have to, or they realize it.
No, and that's where I've been really fortunate. I have a support system like nobody else. I'm positive of that. Between my parents and my wife and, frankly, my friends growing up. I mean, look, this stuff I'm talking about, you're a teenager, man. Life is hard trying to fit in. And I was really fortunate in that, things would happen and my friends would look at me and be like, oh, there's Clay being a little weird and quirky again, but whatever, man, you're still our buddy. And so I never felt like ostracized by anyone. And I know a lot of people do, whether it's their parents, and they try to talk to their parents about this stuff, and they don't take it very well. I was talking to somebody yesterday who said that her father just wouldn't have any of it when she tried to discuss it with him. And so I feel like I've been gifted with such an incredible support system from a very early age and even now, that it's kind of part of my calling to speak out on this stuff.
And Clay, yet the field you chose to go into, and I know it, and you know it, and you're around it, there's almost a phony macho BS to it. So where I think even you and I and other people almost have to sort of play up to that, especially male sports when we cover and things like that. How much tougher did it make it that you had a sort of, you were around these people, and we learn differently when we talk to them, the strong athlete, the overcome adversity, all the BS we talk about. How much tougher is it to be in this realm where you're talking about viral athletes who can do anything and run through walls, and then to sort of know that you sort of on the side were dealing with these other things? Did that make it even tougher?
I think possibly, and it's interesting you bring up the word macho, because, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but I'm not going to use names, but I got a direct message from a direct responder yesterday who saw the story. And he said, I'm really glad you shared your story. I don't know if you know this, but the mortality rate for first responders for suicide over the last 2 years has surpassed the mortality rate for those who die in the line of duty. So in other words, more people are dying by suicide than are dying by doing their jobs as first responders. And I think, without trying to delve into anybody's psyche, I think you're talking about another field, which mm-hmm. then you got to be tough, you got to be macho, you got to be brave. When you've got that in you, I think sometimes it's hard to turn off, right? And you talk about athletes, like, especially let's talk about football players. Like,
sure,
you have guys who are going out there on the field and are supposed to act like the biggest, toughest guys in the world. Then sometimes it's hard to turn that switch off. First responders, I think there's something pretty similar to that. So, yes, and one more, when you're mentioning athletes, I think something that's really been a huge step here, DeMar DeRozan and Kevin Love both mm-hmm. came out with very similar stories, and maybe not quite the level of detail that we were able to express because of the platform we had and because of what Local 10 is trying to do, which I think is incredible. But I think they've opened the door for the conversation with those macho athletes, macho people who are supposed to be macho in all fields of life, that I think is going to help us turn the corner.
Clay Ferraro is with us, one of the sports anchors and reporters at Local 10. And again, I urge everybody to see the piece that Janine put together yesterday on Local 10 about Clay, because, like I say, it's just very candid, and it kind of had to be difficult, I guess, right, to open up like that, because you're opening up to your coworkers, your viewers, like you're really letting some guard down.
I here's the crazy thing about this. I kind of made the decision a long time ago that this was going to be part of my calling, and it kind of came from a conversation with my pastor a few years ago when I was at my worst. This was right before I had to go to the mental hospital up in Sarasota, and I basically went to him and said, "Look, I'm broken here. Why is this happening to me? What's going on? What have I done wrong?" He said, "You haven't done anything wrong. All of us have a fight in life, and this is your fight. And one day you're going to use your story to help so many people." So I kind of kept that in the back of my mind. And then when I got out and continued with therapy and was kind of on the road to recovery, so to speak, my psychologist at the time said, he was actually an OCD specialist, and he said, "I've seen so many patients, and I've never sat down with someone who was able to so vividly and eloquently express what's going on in his head during these moments where essentially the OCD is overcoming you." And that kind of stuck in the back of my head, and I'm kind of putting two and two together. I'm like, well, maybe this is kind of what I'm supposed to do, is help people with this. So I shared this story that there was someone years and years ago who came to me with a particular issue, and he kind of talked to me off to the side, not knowing the full extent of what I'd gone through. I just kind of mentioned something in passing, and he was like, "Oh, okay, well, I never thought about going and getting help about this, and I think now I will." And that person confided in me a few years later that he went and got help, and if he hadn't, he was probably going to end his own life. And so all of these things kind of added up to me where it's like, man, you're okay talking about this stuff. A lot of people are not. So that's your gift. That's what you've been given, and you darn well better use it. And so I do kind of feel like this is a calling of mine. It was not hard for me to talk, and I'm kind of glad that Janine interviewed my wife, because I think she was kind of able to add a human element to the whole thing and speak about what it was like watching the whole thing, because when you're living it, you're just trying to get out of it.
Good for you, man. I think what you did is brave. I know I goof on text, but it is brave. But I this is the constraints of radio. We have 10 minutes with you, so I know you can't really wrap up mental illness with a bow at the end, but can you tell us, like, where are you now, and like, is like, do you struggle with it, or is it over, or like, what's the end?
It's never over, and I think the end is finding the peace in knowing that you're going to be living with this for the rest of your life, and you're just going to have to manage it and do whatever you can to manage it and get help. That's, if we want to put the bow on this thing, if you think that you're dealing with something, anything similar to what I went through, any sort of anxiety disorder, anything that just doesn't feel right, it never hurts to just go and get it checked out before it becomes something much larger. And ultimately, here's the other thing. If the first doctor you see doesn't work, or the first medication you try, or the first round of behavioral therapy that you try does not work, keep at it, because there is no magic pill, so to speak. I know that sounds weird, but there is no fix-all for everyone. You're going to have to find what works for you, but ultimately you will.
Clay Ferraro, once again, has blown it away on a Ferraro Side Chat. I mean, it's just, I mean, what you bring to the radio show and obviously your television station is staggering.
I love how you put those in order like that.
Well, I was really looking it through the prism of my own career and how I can use you to further my own success. But yes, no, you really, it really is brave to tell the story like that. And you know, I had seen on Twitter yesterday when it, you know, here I'm going to share this story and whatever, and I did not think it was going to be in depth and as candid as it was. So I applaud you for doing so, and I applaud Local 10 for taking the tragedy of Todd Tongan's death and saying, yeah, we're not just going to have it be a story and then it's over. We're going to try and do something.
Well, and let me, I know you don't have much time, but I want to do that too, because I want everybody to know this, this was something I kind of went to them with, and I just want people to understand that this was not Local 10 trying to make me do something that I was not comfortable with. I've actually had the outline for a book for this written for months, and I've spoken to people about it. And then this happened with Todd, and I went to my bosses, and I said, look, this is what I've dealt with. I know what we do in the community, what our initiatives are, and I know you guys are probably going to plan something. Please, just, I want to be a part of it. Whatever it is, however I can help, please make me a part of it. And so we kind of kicked around some ideas, and they've been amazing. And, you know, we're still healing, but I think everybody there is doing an incredible job.
Well, Clay, thank you for joining us and sharing and giving us all that information. It was it's a lot to handle, and that was just 10 minutes, and you've dealt with it your entire life. And how do you feel about Roberto Luongo retiring?
You're an idiot. By the way, Ira, you're much better than Channing, and I only say that because he still hasn't taken me fishing yet.
And hasn't taken me fishing either. And the biggest problem with this interview was I always try to take the opposing point of view from Hawk, and I literally, until you came on, I've been trying to think for 2.5 hours. Now, the opposing opinion here would be what?
Right, there's not much of an opposing opinion.
So in this case, I have to defer, and I'll take the loss to Hawk and move on.
No, here's the one. Hawk says I'm not good-looking, so you just say I'm good-looking.
Yeah, go ahead. Defend
again,
that. Defend that, Ira.
At this point, I'll just have to defer to Hawk and move on.
I'm guessing the big story, though, sports-wise locally, that is Roberto Luongo. That'll be the lead story.
I think that's what they're doing. I'm actually in North Carolina on vacation right now. It's kind of amazing that this all came down while I was out of town. We kind of planned this for months. So that's Dookie and Manso's responsibility today. I'm about to go and have a glass of wine and chill on the
So that's why your booking fee was so high today, because you're on vacation. Good. Now I have the opposing
now
view.
We got a little something.
It was 100 times what it normally is.
Right. Which, as you know, Ira, what it is.
Yeah. And welcome to the tribe.
All right. See you, Clay. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Clay. That was wonderful.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Clay Ferreiro there, Local 10. And honestly, if you haven't seen it, and maybe Solana, maybe you could tweet it out, the link to the story, but it's at Local 10 and on Clay's Twitter
site. And just a good guy.
He is the nicest guy. It's why I have him on the radio show all the time. He can talk about anything. But it really is, like, that's the eye-opening part, which was with Todd Dongan as well, where you go, wow, like, you take people, you know them for a few minutes here and there through work, and you take people on the face level, and then all of a sudden you find out, no, there's an actual
human
being.
He's a happy person. I mean, you told me, I don't want to go through the names, but if we were to rate the local TV casters, and you were to say, Ira, who's a happy person?
Clay Ferreiro.
Clay Ferreiro would be right on top of the list.
By the way, Todd Dongan would have been on top of the list.
Absolutely. He made you smile.
Yes.
When you see Clay, you smile.
Yes. So anyway, really interesting, and glad that he's open and honest and sharing that with everybody.
And you ruined his vacation. You're a horrible person, Mark Hoffman.
And I really didn't get his opinion on Roberto Luongo retiring.
So you've got a competitive eater fired today, and you've ruined a vacation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.